look at the investment environment from the kids, and by the kids we mean millennials. Here back with us is Patrick O'Shaughnessy. He's portfolio manager at O'Shaughnessy Asset Management. They've got about $6.8 billion in assets under management based in Stamford, Connecticut. Patrick back with us in our Taking Stock studio. He's also author of Millennial Money, How Young Investors Can Build a Fortune. Good to have you back with us.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Millennials seem to be doing better and better. Does that mean you guys anticipate that you're going to start seeing more money kind of come into the market because of that?
Well, rising tide is definitely lifting all boats. You know, you're seeing the amount of younger people contributing to things like IRAs really skyrocket. And this is pretty typical in what you might expect, that when things are getting better, the economy is a little bit better, people are saving a little bit more. So my concern, though, is what then happens when things get rocky again. We've lived through a six, seven-year period that's been pretty complacent and great for investors.
There are traders out there. I think I heard it with you guys, Mike, this morning on the surveillance that haven't even seen a rate increase in like a decade.
Yeah, I mean, this entire generation is used to zero interest rates. And for the younger ones, stock market that's just gone straight up now for a lot of their experience,
right.
Even though some of the older millennials saw a lot of carnage. So what I've been trying to talk about is what to do when the next downturn happens, because people's tendency is to run and flee and sell. When for young investors, they really should be doing the opposite, that they should view downturns as great opportunities to make longer-term investments. I doubt that that's what most of them will do, but trying to communicate that message ahead of time, I think, is really important.
What kind of stocks are appropriate when you're, you know, or portfolio in general, when you're in the millennial generation, when you've got many, many years to go? The traditional what's your risk tolerance profile would suggest you go out on a limb and you take chances.
Well, I think it's dependent on the individual to some extent, because I think that the most appropriate portfolio is almost all stocks because of the very long time horizon that we have. But of course, for people that know that in a rocky environment they're going to sell, a strategy is only good if you can stick with it. So for that kind of investor, I would obviously advocate a more kind of balanced portfolio. But for the typical kind of, if I don't know anything about them, a young person should be heavily focused in the stock market, because that's actually been the safest investment over very long term, decade-long horizons like millennials enjoy.
Patrick, I remember Peter Lynch, you know, way back when, and he would talk about over at Fidelity that, you know, he liked the way kind of like kids would think, or I don't know whether he created this or somebody else did, but that idea of they bought, you know, kids thought stocks were interesting that they knew, whether it was Nike sneakers or Coca-Cola or something you drink. I think Warren Buffett kind of thinks along these ways, maybe to some extent too, along with the value play. But millennials might like a GoPro because they think it's kind of cool, Twitter or something like that, or a Tesla. And yet those are some stocks that you were saying at this point are too expensive.
Yeah, I think it's actually a terrible strategy to just buy a stock because you like the product or service. Very often a great business is not a good investment. People need to pay attention to price. And the problem with a lot of the products and services of businesses like GoPro, like a Twitter or a Tesla, while they're fantastic companies and products, you have to pay an extremely expensive price for those stocks. And if history teaches us anything, it's that the more you pay, the worse your results are going to be, regardless of how much you like that company. Unfortunately, millennials, those that have started kind of dipping their feet into the water, they're investing in these really exciting companies, but arguably these aren't very good stocks or investments. And so I'm trying to preach a little caution that they maybe should invest more like their grandparents do, which is to invest in companies like Dow Chemical or Allstate. Not nearly as exciting. Dow is just in the news today for laying people off.
Right.
Not nearly as exciting as a new product, but much cheaper prices and arguably better prospective returns.
Well, just from a basic standpoint, am I looking for returns, a higher stock price, or do I want to consider things like dividends when I'm young?
Well, I think there's a couple key things to consider. The most important is valuation. So dividend yield is one very basic measure of valuation, but price to earnings, price to sales, things like that. If you can only consider one thing, I think price to some fundamental is the best thing you can look at. Don't look at earnings growth or sales growth. That stuff is exciting, but it hasn't been a good indicator historically of strong investments.
You know, I know in talking with your dad, Jim O'Shaughnessy, I mean, one of the things that often comes up in our conversations is buybacks, and that's something that he looks at and I think finds interesting in terms of, along with some other metrics at this point. What's your thinking about that? Because we were talking earlier about M&A activity and how maybe it's getting to the point where companies are done doing a lot of buybacks, done doing a lot of dividends, and they're looking much more at strategic deals to kind of help longer term growth at the company, strategic deals.
Well, buybacks are a great tool at the fringes. It's great to look for companies that are repurchasing huge quantities of their shares in the recent past. So if a company is using cash to buy back, say, 10 or 15% of its shares, it's demonstrating huge conviction in itself.
So like an app. Apple?
Apple kind of starts to creep into that category. A lot of stocks have, you know, 2%, 3% share buybacks, just as something to do with all the cash that they've amassed.
Right.
We really focus on the companies that have huge conviction, really big, what we call buyback yields, sometimes higher than 10%.
Very quickly, do you want to you want to do your research. You don't want to just buy tech stocks because you like your iPhone.
Definitely not. You want to base it on proven characteristics, not just your intuitions or hunches about a product.
Is it easier for you guys in this environment? Are you finding anything getting easier in terms of finding opportunities?
It's more expensive. The environment in general is more expensive.
Yeah.
So just the PE of the portfolios tends to go up a little bit. So I wouldn't call it easier, but there are still pockets of opportunity out there using these key factors to find the best opportunities.
We're going to leave it there. All right. Patrick O'Shaughnessy, thank you so much. Portfolio manager at O'Shaughnessy Asset Management, $6.8 billion in assets under management. Check out his book, Millennial Money, How Young Investors Can Build a Fortune. And they are based in Stamford, Connecticut. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. I'm Carol Masser, along with my co-host Michael McKee, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Well, it's been called the short of a lifetime, and Jeff Gundlach says it's what he wants to do, short the German 10-year Bund. How's he going to do that? Well, that's a totally different question. Coming up.